freedom.
Beans.
Where's Beans?
Beans.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Freedom.
Worms. Worms, 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 worms. This is Freedom Fiends, and I am Mr. Derek J, here to melt your medulla oblongata with molecular morsels of munchy mechanizations. Maybe my mouth must move more mobly, or maybe my mom made marmalade magpies. Either way, I am here to indoctrinate you, or inoculate you from indoctrination, broadcasting live and worldwide from the LRN.FM studios in Keene, New Hampshire, the Liberty Media capital of the world. Here to help me warm your synapses this early morning is Dan Green of the Greening Out Podcast. Hey, Dan.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
So, I'm fabulous.
Are you safe? Have you been?
I am safe.
And any contact?
I have not been contacted by the government, thankfully.
Very good.
And soon.
Very good. me too. I have not. Actually, they've been trying to get in touch with me. The government is trying to serve me paperwork. So I will soon be contacted by the government, Dan. And,
have you been in trouble, Dedek?
No, I'm not in trouble. I was a witness to a crime, so I will be called to testify as a witness in the state court, and it's going to be a lot of fun. This guy assaulted me. It was not a very big deal. I recorded it, and he is going to face charges for that assault, and, you know, it's not something that I wished upon him. I wish we could just make peace outside of the state system and talk it out, but he chose not to do that. He chose to get the police involved, and then what do you know? He gets himself arrested for involving the police. Mm. So, you know, karma works in mysterious ways. And anyway, yes, the
government
is trying to
contact me. It's funny how you say, you know, I was assaulted. You know, it's going to be fun. Like, I don't usually put those two together.
Well, you know, I'm either stupid or courageous or both. And I just don't mind people assaulting me so long as they're on camera. That's the thing, you know, because it's going to be revealed eventually.
Fair
so
enough, yeah.
Tonight, we don't have Mr. Michael Dean here with us. He is probably enjoying a series of unexpected flashbacks. And instead, we've got us, Dan Green from the Greening Out Podcast, and me, Derek J, from TheDerekJ.com. I do different podcasts and stuff. And we're going to celebrate tonight, Dan, over an imaginary glass of champagne that we share across this wide pond between us. You're in Scotland. I am in New Hampshire. And we are going to celebrate freedom. You know, that's not done enough on radio. There's a lot of complaining, even on this show. Sometimes our fellow co-hosts complain about the state of freedom. And I want to celebrate the state of freedom tonight because I think we actually have more freedom than ever before. I believe that's a true statement. I know it might sound crazy to a lot of people. What do you think about that, Dan?
No, I think I agree. You know, I totally agree that, like, you know, because if I didn't, we'd have a problem.
Yeah.
No, but no, exactly. It's so easy to complain, isn't it? Like, and I know I'll catch myself doing it a lot, but I've been trying to do it less. I've been trying to take a more positive attitude instead of moaning about what's wrong, focusing on what's right.
You know? Me too.
Because that's, yeah, it's a better way to be.
There's an expression that I heard today. I've heard it before, but it was reiterated today, and I want to share it with you. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Ah, I like that. That's cool, man.
And that is so true. And so I want to change the way I look at freedom.
Excellent. You know, actually, one time I was in the West End of Glasgow, and it's the only place where I see philosophical graffiti. And I remember it was sprayed on the side of a wall, and the spray paint was, "She who, what was it? She who tries to change the world is brave. She who tries to change herself is wise."
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I love philosophical graffiti, man. You don't get enough of it. Should be more.
Deep. Yeah. I don't see that kind of stuff where I'm from, but that sounds really rad. Hey, you know, you were sharing a poem with me before we went on air. Was that also a Scottish poem?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Specifically Scottish.
Would you share an excerpt from that poem for the audience?
Yeah, I would. It's not terribly long. It was actually it's a Scottish poet called Edwin Morgan wrote it especially for a song called Scottish Fiction by a band called Idlewild, who are, in my opinion, the best Scottish band of all time.
What kind of genre
are
they?
Yeah, they're a rock band. Some of it's, you could say it's kind of
heavy,
indie,
is it
rockish.
Pop?
It's a mixture, you know. Some of it's quite acoustic and folky, but then some of it's really quite heavy and shouty. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I want to be clear for the listening audience that you were describing folky, like as in folk music. Your accent can be difficult to discern sometimes. So just want to make that clear. So go ahead and tell us what is in that poem.
Okay. Just get my speaking hat on.
Do you need a deep breath?
Oh, okay.
Right.
No, it's okay. I can do this.
Okay, relax.
I'm ready. It isn't in the mirror. It isn't on the page. It's a red-hearted vibration pushing through the walls of dark imagination, finding no equation. There's a red road rage, but it's not a road rage. It's asylum seekers engulfed by a grudge. Scottish friction. Scottish fiction. It isn't in the castle. It isn't in the mist. It's a calling of the waters as they break to show the new black death. With reactors aglow, do you think your security will keep you in purity? You will not shake us off, above or below. Scottish friction. Scottish fiction.
Wow. All right, so that's rad. Our theme tonight, I just wanted to get that started because just something to meditate on at the beginning of the show. Maybe we'll come back to it later. But just to let the audience know what we're doing tonight, I did say we're celebrating freedom, but here's how we're doing it. Dan and I are seeking to impress each other with bringing up the next greatest example of how freedom is actually increasing and not the opposite. So my first example is in modern cars. So Dan, this is the first example that you have to work with. You have to top this one. Modern cars, let me tell you, have gotten so much better in just my lifetime. My first car was a 1988 Honda Accord, which was produced before I was born. And even that had all of the modern amenities you might expect, like power steering and power windows and a little moon sunroof thing, air conditioning that barely worked, but it was there. And radio, you could switch out the radio for another one, get a higher tech one for pretty cheap. It had some cool, like, spinny things in the wheels and was decked out for not that much money. I think I paid $1,500 for my first vehicle. And, you know, it worked. It ran, and it was pretty cool. And the state had pretty much nothing to do with it. You know, I know that there were, some regulations like, oh, you have to have seatbelts in your car. But, like, that's not what I'm jumping for joy about. You know, I'm saying it was a comfortable ride that was reliable, did me well, and cost almost nothing when you consider the cost of transportation and the alternatives. So, yay, freedom is increasing. Because now, when I look at the modern-day Honda Accords, which are, I guess, now 25 years older, they have all of those things still. They have the sunroofs and the power steering and the power wheels and everything, the windows. But now, like, I don't know, they've got computers built in. They've got cameras that you can back up and see what's coming on behind you. They've got those OnStars that connect to all different satellites, navigation systems, MP3 players built in. So all of this stuff, like, now comes standard. And again, the state had nothing to do with it. The state didn't improve and say like, oh, you have to have MP3s and you have to, you know, make your cars better every year. So that's my example. Freedom is increasing just when you get in your car. Just think about like, oh, this is state didn't build that. I think that should be our theme. State didn't build that. You know how did you hear about that across the pond when Obama was like dumping on businesses and business owners saying like, if you built a successful business, well, you didn't build that by yourself. The state did it for you. You know, with our governments and our roads and our schools. Did you hear about that?
I heard something about that. I think I saw it. I skim a lot of the news websites because I sort of link up news stories on our site. And I think I remember kind of seeing that. And politicians love to take credit for everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, the internet. That was us. That was the government, so they say. So, all right. That was my example, was modern cars. State didn't build that. Your turn, Dan. Impress me. Give me something good.
Okay. So, one of the arguments a lot of people say for the state is because, you know, the state protects us from fire because they give us the fire brigade.
Yeah.
And they'll come and sort out the fires. However, when you think about it, private companies have done so much for fire prevention. We've got, like, you know, fire alarm systems. Now you've got complex sprinkler systems.
Wow, yeah.
So there's that. And then the other one is the police. Oh, no, the state provide the police for us. But, we've actually seen, like, you know, the security systems you can get now are incredible. I was looking at some ones, you know, recently, and you can even, like, you can now get things where you can, like, see from a camera outside your door on, like, your phone. It's just, like, it's amazing. The state didn't do that, you know, so security and fire have both been provided for privately and better. I mean, if you said to someone, what would you rather have, you know, a policeman walking round about or a private security guard downstairs? You know, let's face it, that's a no-brainer.
That's an interesting one because we actually have real-world examples where that's still the case, like in modern-day government schools, where that's exactly what they have is a patrol officer who's, like, walking around and keeping everyone safe, right? Like, that worked during Columbine and other things. Like, nope. Not going to keep you safe, sorry. And that's like the other thing, in all of the innovations in fire prevention that you've listed, there hasn't been any innovations in schools. They're still doing those fire drills, like, okay, kids, line up, let's pretend there's a fire. Don't hurry too much. This is just pretend, remember? And, so the government doesn't innovate. They're a bunch of squares. They're losers. And the market rules. Let's go to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Fiends. Freedom. Worms.
Meow. Meow, meow.
Worms and freedom. Meow therapy. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Can you feel it, Dan?
I can feel it. Yeah, I can. All the way over in Scotland.
Yes, yes. Let the radio waves pulse through your veins and into your brain and into space. We are beaming these words into space, Dan. And that is the next frontier, and that is cool. The subject of my next celebration. Humans are going to Mars, Dan. Do you realize how incredibly cool this is? That's happening.
I do.
People are signing up for this right now. What?
Although there was an article that came out, not to rain on everyone's parade here, but there's a guy who's critical of it who doesn't think it's going to work.
Oh, there's always one at every party.
Derek, I'm so sorry. I feel like I've just rained on our parade here, we should mention that.
So what does
it's just one guy's opinion.
He's like,
that he's not spoke.
Yeah.
Well, he said that the tests weren't, this showed up on RT, so take it for what it is. But he said, what he basically said was that no one had actually hadn't met anyone in person from the team, and the selection process didn't involve the type of tests that he would expect. He has some credentials. I can't remember what his credentials were in this kind of field. And he said there was no proper tests that he would expect for astronauts given at the time. So he's skeptical, but apparently it's still going ahead. But I just thought we might throw that in.
So what? Sorry to rain on your parade. I don't care. I don't care what he thinks. Who's he? Is he special?
I can't remember his name.
He's not like Bill Gates or something.
His name, but
if he was like some important
guy. Is Bill Gates special?
Yeah, he's one of those special people that matters when he talks. But this is just some loser from, I don't know, where. Forget him.
So, but I do agree with you, Derek, about space travel.
Yeah, space travel. That's going to be my next one. But before we go on, I forgot, you know, we didn't give due time to your celebration of how fire prevention has improved. No thanks to the state, by the way. The state has existed for, what, thousands of years, and fires have been happening for a very long time. But I think they're happening less and less now, and I don't see how that could really be the state's fault, that less of it is happening. I would think it would be the market, people who are providing fire extinguishers and stuff. So my question for you, Dan, is have you ever been present during a fire?
No, actually, I'm just trying to think. In fact, I remember now, once there was a guy who used to live down the stairs from us. We live in a block of tenement flats, so we're three floors up. And I remember we smelled something kind of weird, and we went out into the close, and there was all this kind of smoke, and we weren't sure what to do, but it was actually all right, because within about 15 minutes, like, a couple of firemen had ran up the stairs and said, "We've got this, stay where you are." And, you know, Katie was loving it. She was actually hanging out the window looking at the firemen. She thought it was brilliant. Katie being my wife, for anyone who doesn't know, but that's the only time, never anything more serious than that.
Why did she love it? I don't get it. Why would she be happy about the firemen? Are they hot?
She's into... Yeah. She liked the firemen. She likes firemen. She's got a thing about firemen.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she'll mind me saying that.
Me too. No, hey, I'm open about that too. One of the co-hosts of Free Talk Live, Mark Edge, is a volunteer fireman, and sometimes comes to the show dressed in his fireman's uniform, and that's a real treat for me. So, yeah.
See, I don't think... I'm not sure if we're allowed to have, because I've never heard of a volunteer fire service here.
What?
And I'll have to look into that, but I'm not sure if we're even allowed to have that. I don't know. I'll have to look into that, though.
That's crazy. That's just the most basic thing. Like, oh, my neighbor is on fire. Let me help him. There's no like, oh, well, I'm not being paid, so, you know, I wish I could dump some water on you, but... Not allowed.
I hear everyone's attitude here is something's wrong. Quick, someone phone the state. That's the attitude.
Is that really the attitude? I mean, you're from there.
Yeah,
tell me what it's really like. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, big time. Oh, yeah, it's true of a lot of people here. I mean, I'm not trying to collectivize everyone, you know, but a lot of the people I know, that's the way they think, you know. It's like, you know, I mean, I still talk to people like my mother, and she talks about how great it was when everything was like nationalized in the 70s and all this kind of thing. She would say things like, "A young man like you could have got a great job in the civil service, you know, basically working for the government, being a bureaucrat."
Oh, great.
She thinks that's good.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Let's look at things in isolation and never look at the context. That would just make things so wonderful, right? We could just ignore all the bad and just take the good that exists right now. Your civil service job, yeah. That'll never go away. You won't lose that pension.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to Freedom Beans with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I'll be coming back.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 freedom. Beans.
Beans.
Meow, beans.
Freedom.
This is Freedom Fiends. How do y'all do there? And we are celebrating the freedom that we do have. We're changing our perspective from one that says, oh my God, freedom is dying, to, wow, look at all of the new freedoms that we have that we didn't have before. Like all of the comfortable, safe mechanisms for driving, getting around, transportation, putting out fires. We were talking about that in the last segment. And we're going to get back to that. But I do want to take a brief aside to focus on Dan Green, my co-host, and the cool things that he's doing with his wife, namely making podcasts and music. What's going on there with you and Katie, Dan?
Yeah, Katie and I, we started a band, actually. I used to play in bands years ago. I think I told you on the last time we spoke that the end of the wee tune at the end of our shows is a song I wrote for Katie years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just still around. So I used to play in bands, but then I'd kind of fallen out with those kind of crowds and things, and I hadn't bothered with it. But Katie had always kind of wanted to sing, but like she was really not that good at music, and I was always decent at writing songs, and I can play multiple instruments, but I'm not that good at singing. So not to sound corny or whatever, but we've both got what each other's lacking in a musical
Aww.
Sense.
That's so sweet. You guys are romantic. It's John and Yoko. Although that probably is not a flattering example. I mean, it's like John and Yoko. John and Yoko were good. If Yoko was good. Sorry.
But we had this idea. We thought, like, you know, you get bands like The Cure and they play like happy sounding music but with like depressing lyrics. So we thought instead of being a band like The Carpenters that's a husband and wife that sings love songs.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Most of our songs are about breaking up. So,
you're more like a Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go there. Let's not go there. One of our songs is up on our website just now, but it's a rough version. I'm still remixing it. But
what's your site?
A song called greeningoutpodcast.com, and there's a wee anarcho sound tab, and there's a song called Where You Left. It's just the rough demo version. It's weird, man, I've got to tell you. Jim Jesus, who is a Freedom Fiends co-host, described it like this. He said it was like The Residents collaborating with Alanis Morissette.
Wow. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And Jim Jesus is such a music buff. For him to even drop the name The Residents says quite a lot. Do you want to let the audience know who that eccentric band is?
Oh, The Residents. Oh, yeah, they're like they're a crazy band. They're anonymous, aren't they? Because in a lot of their pictures, they just all have massive like eyeballs, big, huge masks that go over their heads that are just like eyeballs. Sometimes they're wearing top hats on them. They're really bizarre, but they make such interesting and strange music. Sometimes it's all cut up into different pieces and things, and it's really interesting. There's not the only way to really describe it is if you want to be suave about it, you say avant-garde, and if you want to be normal about it, you say experimental.
Yep, yeah, that's exactly right. Good description. They've been around since the late 70s, and as I was told, I don't know if this is true or not, but yeah, they are pseudonymous or anonymous, and the reason they got the name The Residence is because they didn't put a name on their mailbox, you know, like how when you receive mail at an address, you put your name on it so that the mailman knows to whom to deliver your mail. And instead, they just had, there was no name, so the mail came to The Residence at this such and such address, and they just went with that as their band name. Anyway, cool band music history aside, let's get back to celebrating. So you, you've got your greeningoutpodcast.com Anarcho Sound. You've got the
Anarcho
band.
Sound, yeah. That's the name of our band, yeah.
Yeah, that should be my next example of something the state didn't build, but is completely awesome and I couldn't live without today, which are blogs. Like, blogs, my friends, my co-hosts can make cool music, put that on the internet, and then share that with the world. That didn't exist when I was a kid, and that's really cool. Yeah. And the state didn't build that.
Nope.
And anyway, that's it. That's, you know, blog. It's not just music that you can put there. It's ideas that you can share. You know, like how it used to be like there were gatekeepers. Like you had to go to publishers and you had to go to colleges to have your different edits and manuscripts and whatever proofread by this and that. And it probably took years and thousands of dollars. But today it takes minutes and almost no money at all because you can just set up your own blog almost for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it not, I think it was Murray Rothbard in The Ethics of Liberty. No. I think it's in For a New Liberty. I think it's that one. But anyway, he was talking about how if you have socialism, i.e., you know, the state owns the means of production, then how could you ever have a free press? Because obviously the state aren't going to want anything. If they own the means of production, they aren't going to want anything bad said about them. So that's another, you know, like another way. If you know what I mean, like that, because we can do this freely just now, you know, if we had full on, like a full on socialist country, that's why we wouldn't have this show. Let's face it, this would be, we'd have all been rounded up and arrested a long time ago.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, that's one reason I should probably round blogs. I should wrap that all up into one whole big thing, which is the internet, you know, and that could probably go on for several segments, but I just, you know, blogs, now that you've brought up freedom of the press, I feel like Netflix needs to be included in freedom of the press because there are shows like Transamerica, which I don't even know if that's on Netflix per se or Amazon or one of those other, but it's the same thing. There's like streaming services where you can get entertainment like TV, but on the internet. And Netflix, they've got that House of Cards show, and back in the day there was The Sopranos, and like these types of shows, I think are sort of like the modern equivalent of the free press. Like these are the stories that tell, that mimic reality. You know, House of Cards is a story about a congressman and corruption, and you know, of course, it's a fictional story, but it mimics reality in a way that a newspaper just couldn't. A newspaper can't just be like, oh, you know, and a corrupt congressman spent a bunch of money that he doesn't have, and you know, sorry taxpayers, you know, but then telling the story on a show like Netflix, I feel like that does more for advancing the ideas, the concept that politicians are corrupt and, you know, that the government is an unnecessary evil than even a plain old newspaper that's existed for hundreds of years.
And do you know, Derek, that House of Cards is based on a British show from the 90s of the same name?
Get out! No, I did not know that. True. And that's pretty cool.
Because I've watched both, yeah. I think it was actually originally a novel somewhere down the line, but they did a British version, and it wasn't Frank Underwood, it was, what was his name? It was Francis something. And some of it's quite similar. The first series, there's bits that are similar, but then the American one goes off in its own tangent. The American one is its own thing, you know, it's like, it's not just a copy. It's just the same sort of basic premise, but the American one takes it further. So I really dig both of them. But I think it was on Netflix, the UK one. I don't know if it still is, but it was before. That's where I saw it.
Rad. Well, I guess my point is that there aren't these gatekeepers that used to exist, or there might still be some gatekeepers, but there are fewer and fewer every year. And that is really something to celebrate. I feel like I have more freedom because I can log on to a thing like Netflix or Amazon account and watch all of this entertainment that I choose. You know, it used to be when I was a kid, you flip channels, and if there wasn't anything on TV, that's it. There wasn't anything on. You have to, like, put in a movie or something. But, you know, now we've got more freedom thanks to the market.
Absolutely.
So I just took the big one. I just took the internet. I don't know if you've got more that you want to say on the internet.
Well, see if you're going to take the big one, can I take the small one then?
Yeah, what's that?
Okay, so if you think about, you know, there's those memes that go about and it's like capitalism where breadlines wait on you and socialism where you wait in breadlines, you know, because, and, you know, communist countries, yeah, that kind of thing, you know. But even things like cookies, see if you go to a supermarket and you see the vast amount of cookies you've got and the vast amount of choice. Again, if we had, like, you know, the government controlling the means of production, we'd probably have shortages of basic cookies. But because we can have cookies with pretty much anything in them now, that's got nothing to do with the government. That's companies, you know, that see a market that want to give you choice. Because the way Katie and I have been talking to people here, because it's hard to talk to people here about liberty and libertarian ideas, so we present it instead of saying, like, oh, we just want to get rid of the NHS, the National Health Service, we just say to people, we want people to have choice. That's all we're saying, we want people to have choice. And now you get choice. So even with the little things, you know, it makes a difference with not having the government control everything and not centrally plan everything.
Yeah, well, I want more choice, and I like I feel like I have more choices in a lot of things. Not in everything. Of course, the government is always weaseling its way into my life in one way or another to limit choices. But in most ways, I have more choices about what to do during my day, what careers I can choose. And none of that is thanks to the state. Hooray! So, yeah, I think that's a very good one. Choice. Although, you know, I don't know if you have this problem with freedom. I certainly do. Constraints are helpful for, like, an artist. You're an artist, so you would know. Yes. Constraints can be very helpful. Like, Dan Green, please write a song in the key of G and with words that rhyme with salamander. And, you know, that gives you something to start from, and then you can, you know, start to work on a song that's in the key of G and rhymes with salamander. So, you know, versus if I just gave you the instruction to just write a song. You know, it could be about anything.
Yeah.
And I find that crippling. I find overwhelming options, like every option in the world, to be a little bit stultifying. I can't move on. And I don't know, that's like one of the challenges of freedom. Like, now that I feel more free in my life today than I ever have before. And because of that, it's a little more alarming about, like, what should I do today? Like, I've got all this responsibility to think about, like, well, you know, these choices have consequences and, you know, are you making the right ones? Out of all the different things in the world you could be doing, how do you know that what you're doing is the right thing? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you suffer from the same malady?
Well, I think sometimes, I know what you mean, because sometimes you find yourself, for me, you know, it always brings up the movie Sliding Doors in my mind. Do you know that?
Like, what is that?
You know that film Sliding Doors?
It was a big film. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, it was a big movie, and, like, I think it was the 90s or something. It was like a romantic comedy where it's sort of like a woman jumps to get, like, on a train, but, like, sort of half, it jumps into two realities where in one reality she gets on the train, in one reality she doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
And then it sees, yeah, it sees, who was in it? I'm going to
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Look this up. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's kind of like that, because you think it could go either way here. Does my reality split at this point? Deep, deep stuff.
I don't know. Is your reality about to split now that we're going to take a trip to the free market? Or maybe we're not going to the market?
I know.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Freedom Fiends! Tasing you with liberty! Yeah, and we're talking about ways that freedom has increased that has nothing to do with the state. Most ways that freedom has increased has nothing to do with the state, go figure. And we were just talking about the big one, the internet. And I know there are going to be some people out there who say, but the state created the internet. Al Gore claims credit. He says, you know, whatever, a series of tubes or whatever the expression was that Congress used to describe the internet. Yeah. So I don't have a complete knowledge and history of the creation of the internet, but here's what I do understand. That and catch me if any of this is inaccurate, Dan. But it seems to me that there was a government project, like a Navy military sort of project, that was behind the creation of what we know as the internet. And it involved connecting data centers between different colleges in the U.S. And maybe England. And they would share information from one college library to another, and that was like the very basic beginnings of the internet. Is that what you understand to be the case?
That's what I understand to be the case.
All right. So that's all well and interesting and very good, and thank you, government, for creating that. I can't complain. Credit where credit's due. There were some brilliant engineers who made all that happen, and good for them. Just because they were paid for by the state doesn't mean that the state was necessary for that to have been created. It might have been even created before, long before the 80s or 70s or whenever that happened, if the state weren't around. But what I want to get to is like, okay, that's really cool, but what makes the internet the internet? It's more than just Wikipedia entries. I mean, there's a whole world of porn out there. There's the music of Dan Green. There's Freedom Fiends yakking into radio. And
that's an interesting mix there.
What?
My music, porn, and the Freedom Fiends. Is that what you think of it when you think of the internet?
Yeah, those are the things that I use the internet for. And yeah, so there we go. I'm just saying, like, the things that make the internet, Netflix, Amazon.com, all of these things are creations of the market. They're you and me and other individuals interacting, trying to find ways to serve one another. Here you are producing music that hopefully will make people happy. I don't know if you have a donate button or something that people can kick you some Bitcoin.
Of course I do.
All right, cool. What is it?
I'm a podcaster. Of course I do.
So where is your donation widget?
Oh, they're right on the front page of my website. There's a donate Bitcoin and then just a donate button where you can donate via PayPal. But we actually, funnily enough, and people think we talked about this, but we didn't even, but we got ourselves an Amazon affiliate link now, you know, like the Freedom Fiends has, where if you can click on it and then shop through Amazon, it costs you no extra.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit of money.
What a great deal.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It's also pretty cool as a podcaster to have that sort of affiliate thing, because you can, from my understanding, you get a printout of what your listeners have purchased. So you don't know who purchased what, but you know that, for example, if someone purchased a new microphone from Amazon through your affiliate link, you'll get a printout about that at the end of the week. Like, oh, here's the breakdown of where your money came from. Someone bought a microphone or whatever, and you can read that out. Like, oh, look at all these interesting things my listeners are buying. Hopefully they're not buying too many personal items.
We're going to set up a wish list, actually. You can do that. You know, you can set up a wish list and people can buy things for you. So, but Katie gets too silly with it. She's like, we should put something weird on it. Like, she's always been like that. Even when we got married, actually, you know, we had like a wedding list where, you know, people could buy things off a list. You know, do you have that kind of thing in the
US?
Of
course, yeah. We call it a registry. Kind of list.
Yeah, Katie just wanted to put weird stuff on it, and I had to restrain her.
That's a great idea, but don't let the temptation take you over. A wedding is a great time to get a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah, there was golf clubs and everything on that.
Were those a joke, or were those for real?
They were for real, actually, at the time.
Yeah, I suppose golf clubs are what Scottish people use for home defense.
Yep.
So you're not allowed to have guns over there.
No, and air guns are being licensed.
Wow.
Shocking.
Do you have to paint your golf clubs with orange tips?
Why?
I don't know. We have to do that with some guns here in the U.S. because to show that they're fake.
Oh.
Anyway, maybe you want to buy some guns, real or fake, on this trip to the free market. Here we go.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Meow, meow. Worms, worms.
Worms, worms.
Freedom, freedom.
Beans,
beans, beans, beans, beans, beans, beans, beans, beans, beans.
Meow,
meow. Wow. Freedom fiends. We're gonna get you. We're invading your brains.
Hello.
With auditory waves. And, you know, our goal here... This is Derek J. Broadcasting live from Keene, New Hampshire. The Liberty Media capital of the world. Joined by Dan Green of greeningoutpodcast.com. Yeah. And you're in Scotland.
I am.
But we speak almost the same language, so we can do a show together, and it's pretty cool. We're chatting right now over across these long distances, and we sound so clear, and it sounds like we're in the same room next to each other, but that's not true. It's because of a thing called FiendPhone, which listeners of this program have surely heard about. It's another thing that is brought to you not by governments, but by you and me, the market. It is a no-gov software, so you know it didn't come from the government. The government's not even allowed to use it. And I guess for those who are not yet familiar, it's simple software for connecting audio calls across long distances over the internet. And it sounds great. So go get it, FiendPhone.com. And if you like it, send a donation to the people who created it. That would be cool.
And Derek, but shouldn't we mention also, because our podcast is now covered by this, the FiendPhone, the Freedom Fiends, and the Greening Out podcast is covered by the BIPCOT no government license.
Oh, very good. Yes. And what is that?
Yes. Yeah, it allows any use of software and media except by governments. It threatens no government guns for violators, not copyright-based. It's entirely shame-based. You can actually learn more at bipcot.org.
I like that. I like it. It's voluntary. It involves consent, and it's no violence. Yep. It's just shame. Yeah. Shame Absolutely. Works. Shame is a good motivator. Better than guns, I Definitely. Think.
I think so. I agree. It's a better way. It's a more civilized way to do things.
Yeah. So we were just talking about things that the government hasn't done. You didn't build that, government, Obama. You're a liar, a socialist, and your feet stink, Mr. Obama. And you
and may
didn't
I
build
say that.
That
May I add to that that David Cameron is a ridiculous human being, Derek?
Yes.
Continue, please.
He is a ridiculous human being. But, you know, so NoGov fiend phone software was developed by individuals who just said there is a need in this world for better audio quality, and I'm going to fill that need. It was not the government or a group of voters or... what do they call those people who go up to politicians? Lobbyists. It was not a lobbying firm who went up to bribe politicians and say, make us better software, as people occasionally do. I think that happens sometimes, right? I'm not sure. Probably. I don't have an example offhand, but I'm sure there are lobbyists demanding better software for something.
We just assume it happens.
I just, you know, yeah, it's a rule of... the internet, right? Like if there's if the idea exists, there's porn of it. Well, if the idea exists, there's a lobbyist fighting for it in Congress.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but that's another thing that
except
wasn't
for getting rid of it.
Except for getting rid of the state. But, you know, isn't it fun that we can laugh as the state becomes less and less irrelevant every day? Like, I never imagined, Dan, that this is how the state would wither away and fall out of my life completely. Like, I imagined, you know, and I hate to put it this way, but I imagined... disaster and fires and bad things happening all around me, like, oh no, the state is collapsing. Like the state collapsing looked like a building collapsing or something, but that's it's just a metaphor, you know? So relying on my friends and neighbors to respond to a 911 call or getting a ride from Uber instead of a state-sanctioned taxi, like, these are all... This is what it looks like for the state to collapse and become less and less relevant. People using Bitcoin to produce podcasts and power their lives without the consent of government. Like, that's what it looks like for the state to collapse and become less and less relevant. Like, they're just going to eventually be this group of squeaky, ugly celebrities who occasionally... are on C-SPAN and some other late-night talk shows who talk about their wishes for the world, and they're going to have no impact, no actual impact on what happens. Because they'll outlaw guns, and people will just print them themselves at home.
The thing is as well, yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to say, the thing is, we know that the market is, you know, it's people interacting with people. A really good local example of that I know of is I live close to a big stadium here, and I know a lot of people that own houses just right around there, and they put up on the internet, they say, you know, if there's a concert on or a football match or whatever, they say, you can have our driveway. It's, you know, it would be cheaper than trying to get a parking space there. It would be easier because it would be close to the stadium. You wouldn't have to park miles away. You know, you can just park in our driveway and it would be safe. You pay us and that's it. And because that's all the market is people interacting with people. And we don't need the state to plan that. People can plan that by themselves.
Yeah, that's another one. That's another way that freedom is increasing. You know the expression, oh, there's an app for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another market solution. Yeah. As far as I know, there aren't any apps that the state has created. There might be some. There might be, like, I don't know, report.
Ones to spy on us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, report on your neighbor app. And there might be, like, here's your list of poor government services app. you know, that
maybe the NSA have an app where they can just tap into the fiends and listen to what we're saying.
They wish, but they can't do that because the fiends are protected by BIPCOT NoGov software license. So they want to listen to us, but they're restricted by their own ethical code, I guess.
What if they don't mind being shamed?
Yeah.
What happens then? Oh, no.
They might listen anyway if they don't mind the shame. And they probably don't. Let's face it, they're NSA agents, so they're shameless to begin with. But, yeah.
Was it not Ernest Hancock who said that the NSA spy on them, but they have to change the thing? They have to change the agents every few months because he keeps converting them?
Yeah, isn't that brilliant? Yeah, that would be my greatest hope, is that there's a group of agents who have been spying on me for years, and they're slowly becoming convinced, or quickly becoming convinced, that they are actually doing the greatest evil by surveilling people unnecessarily, making people who are peaceful into criminals, just by virtue of laws. Silly laws.
Absolutely.
So, laws. Smartphones and parking apps. Like, that was your example, right? Of an app that you can use to find parking. Brilliant.
Yeah.
This didn't exist.
And also, I was just going to say, even on just websites and things like that as well, you know, things like, you know, Craigslist and stuff like that, people do this kind of thing.
Yeah, Craigslist is another one. And I know, like, we mentioned the internet, but then there are all of these specific examples that exist on the internet, like Craigslist and eBay. And think about, like, yeah, yard sales always existed, but say you've got some random weird item that no one wants. I don't know, Russian stacking dolls, and you can't sell those at a yard sale. Maybe you could. Maybe you've got some neighbor who's interested, but now you can open up to the whole rest of the world, sell your stuff on Craigslist or eBay. People could pick stuff up locally. Like, there are curb alerts. That's one way that freedom has increased. You want something free? Go on to Craigslist, check out Curb Alert or Free Stuff section. And
what's that?
What? A curb alert?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. They might not have the term curb in Scotland, but it's like the edge of the sidewalk.
I know what a curb is.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I know what a curb is, but I don't know what a curb alert is.
A curb alert is a Craigslist term for when someone puts stuff that's free outside of their house on the curb and says,
right, cool.
Hey, pick it up. Come take it away. So I don't have to pay for the removal of this heavy item.
Please never tell Katie about that.
No, I want everyone to know about it because it's one way that your freedom is increasing. Like, I've never been more powerful, and neither have you. In the history of the world, has one person been as powerful as you, the listener, are today, because of the amazing things that you can do interacting with this world to be able to go out and find free stuff that's listed in your neighborhood. Cool. And what about all the stuff amazing that's available for almost nothing on eBay that's selling all around the world, these garage sales that are now open to you?
Have you ever been on Etsy?
Yeah, that Etsy's website. Another one.
Yeah, it's for artists, so you have to like have a portfolio before you can sell. So whether you have to make things, but it can be anything from like, you know, jewelry or like paintings or ceramics or anything. I mean, we found an incredible artist on there called Chuck Hody, and we bought a load of his paintings. They're amazing, and I love Etsy because it's a great way that artists can just sell their stuff directly to people like all over the world. It's amazing because the guy Chuck Hody that we bought those paintings from, he lives in California. I would never have seen those paintings in my life, you know, unless I'd been on Etsy and I was able to buy them. So that shows you as well.
Obama did those paintings. David Cameron painted them with his feet.
Oh, that's a horrible image. I'm going to struggle with that one now.
No, I'm sorry. It's not true. The government had nothing to do with it, in fact. And I'm sure you paid for those paintings in Bitcoin, the other stateless currency that's giving people more freedom. Because governments no longer have to be the people who make money. Like, make the money. You know, like, we all want to make money, right? But, I mean, produce the bills and the currency. Mm-hmm. They no longer have to be those people. Like, I don't know. As a kid, I used to think that money was just this magic green paper and silver tokens that the government made. But now, you know, that has sort of changed. I've broadened my view. I've been like, oh, there's gold, silver. There's other things that the government doesn't control. And here's Bitcoin marching in and giving people the power to essentially use gold and silver over the internet.
Yeah.
It's way cool, man. And the government Incredible. Had nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
In fact, they're trying to stop it. But they're going to lose.
Yeah, they won't. They're going to lose.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
We're back. We're yakking about cookies, smartphones,
yeah,
and other ways that freedom is increasing every day. And that's worth celebrating. And that's what we're doing here today on the Freedom Fiends. So, Dan, you've got one. Money. Money is something that's gotten better.
Yeah, money has got better. Oh, it's got a lot better, especially since Bitcoin. You know, because like we were talking about just before the break, you know, it's completely, you know, it's decentralized and the government will lose. And, you know, you get these people and the zeitgeist people kind of do it. And you get, I think there's a no money party and they talk about like, man, we just don't need money because it's cool because, you know, we can get by without it. But it's a convenient medium of exchange. And, you know, if we're going to just use an economic term, if you don't have money and you need to, you know, barter with someone, you need to have a double coincidence of wants, i.e. if you... A double coincidence of wants. So, i.e., if I maybe, say I'm a logger, I cut down trees, and say you raise chickens. You know, if we're going to trade, then I have to want your chicken and you have to want my logs. Whereas if we use money, it doesn't matter because we can use that money to buy whatever we want. We don't have to want what the other person has exactly. We just want their money. That's why it's a convenient medium of exchange. It's just, it makes so much sense, you know, that's why it works.
Is there anything else you would trade in if not these green paper bills? I mean, Bitcoin is nice. Bitcoin is a nice, easy thing to trade in. But if you had to use barter, I'm trying to think of, like, what I would use. I love sunglasses. I could trade in sunglasses, but, you know, they're, like, useful to all people. Everyone pretty much wears the same size of sunglasses.
You know, you could. I mean, I don't know styles. What I'd trade in. I don't really have an abundance of anything.
Well, you would get an abundance of it because you would treat it like money. So you'd collect it. You'd put it in a big bank, the bank of sunglasses.
Yeah, the bank of sunglasses.
Yeah.
Is this your dream, Derek?
Yeah. You make a deposit or withdraw and you walk out. Anyway, money has certainly gotten better, and it's no thanks to the government. Actually, it might be thanks to the government failing so hard that the market was like, we need an alternative because my purchasing power sure is dropping fast if I'm noticing... You know, if I'm actually measuring my purchasing power, you know, not the way the government does it. Because here, I don't know if they do it the same way in the UK, Dan, but here in America, they measure the CPI or the Consumer Price Index, like, excluding things like food and fuel. Like, oh yeah, that's totally irrelevant to a person's expenses and daily needs. You know, that's obviously a poor way to get an accurate measurement of what inflation is looking like. So people who actually care and follow this information, like at Shadow Stats and other places, realize that inflation has been very high for these fiat currencies like the dollar. And people want an alternative.
And there is an alternative that I don't trust. And, like, for example, there's a great documentary called The Money Masters by a guy called Bill Still. But he basically gives you a history of banking and stuff. But he kind of argues for, like, a government-issued currency with no debt. So, like, Abraham Lincoln did with the greenback notes. You know, so he argues for that. Yeah, exactly, because I don't trust that at all. Because then what you're doing is you're placing all the control right in their hands. So, you hear, I do see a lot of people on the internet calling for that, saying, you know, we need to get to sound money. We need to get back to that government-issued debt-free money like greenbacks. And I just think, nah, man, that's because then you're powerless. You're just saying to the government, yep, just control the money flow. And that's that would be terrible. It would not be better.
But Dan, governments never get corrupted. The money would be totally safe in the government's hands. Trust the government. They will never mismanage your money. They've never done that before. It's not like they're, what, $19 trillion in debt today. These politicians
are counting.
Yeah, they're going to change their ways tomorrow as soon as you enter this new world of debt-free currency. Sure. That's a pipe dream if I ever heard one. I'd much rather just escape the whole system and use Bitcoin or gold and silver and whatever other kinds of things I want to trade in, and just start ignoring the state and its bad currency. I don't need that.
Yeah. Yeah, none of us need that. We could do it ourselves.
I don't know. Cash is cool to have on hand, but for the most part, I say cash is trash. I don't want that stuff. It's dirty. Keep it away from me.
Don't like cash.
We'll be back. We got more good news coming back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Worms, worms. Worms, worms.
Worms, worms.
Freedom.
Worms.
Meow. Meow, meow. 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 Freedom Fiends. We are fiending it up, talking about freedom here, because we realize that the state is collapsing. You know, sorry to break the news to you, if you weren't aware, the writing is on the wall, and the state is going to end. All states end eventually, and it doesn't have to be through any effort of your own, actually. There are a lot of people who want to like help the state fall over, but I don't even think that's necessary. Just laugh as it happens. That's all you need. So I'm laughing and learning, talking about ways that freedom is increasing with Dan. And we're up on to this one. This is a big one. Media. We're exercising this one right now, in a way. We're not like a news show, but we are media, in
That'd
a sense.
Be boring. We're more fun.
Boo. Who wants to know what's happening in the world? That's for losers. I'd rather talk about music. So, yeah, media is is one way that freedom is increasing in the world, and that is something to celebrate. Like, you know how there used to be... I mean, I don't know. I imagine... I wasn't around, but Ben Franklin had a newspaper, and it was very popular, and he started his own, so he was exercising his ability to be the media. But I feel like somewhere along the line, it became more difficult to be the media, or maybe it already was difficult. Like, maybe you had to have a lot of money to invest in a printing press and stuff like that. But anyway, now you don't need a lot of money. You need a couple of bucks for a set of headphones or a keyboard, a computer, microphone, or whatever tools you're going to use to produce media, and then you can put it out into the world for, like, no money. And I sort of mentioned this earlier. Like, yeah, the internet is making that possible for everyone. But I think what's different is that it used to be the people consumed their news and information from television screens. And today, they are consuming their news and information from independent media outlets on the internet. And that is really something to celebrate. I think it means that there's more truth happening.
Yeah, and see, in a way, if we're talking about innovation and stuff as well, I mean, even just think about music. I mean, in the 1940s, you know, it was, like, desirable to have an old gramophone in the corner of your room or whatever, you know, and then what happened? We got, you know, records, CDs. Now we've, you know, I love taking my dog for big long walks in the park, and I love having my MP3 player in, you know, so that shows you as well. The government had nothing to do with that. So even how we listen to music, how we consume this media has been innovated vastly by the free market. I mean, even in the 60s, you couldn't walk about listening to anything you wanted on a pair of headphones, but now you can just do it with ease, and you can even have noise cancelling headphones. It's brilliant, man. Again, no government, free market.
What a great point that is, Dan. I didn't even consider how amazing the advancements in music consumption have been. Like, the fact that, you know, I'm wearing really big can-style headphones right now, and you can't roll those up, but they, you know, they're real high quality, but you can roll up little earbuds, you know, those popular little, you know, stick them in your ear headphones that people will wear. They come with, like, every smartphone now. Those could be wrapped up and stuck in your pocket, and you could walk around, and your phone is basically the MP3 player that you need, so people are already walking around with more capacity for playing music than they ever could in the past. And, like, everyone is doing this. It's a commonplace. I mean, it's almost silly that we're bringing it up, because everyone's, yeah, I know, I have a smartphone, I can listen to music. But, like, if you don't take a step back every once in a while and be like, that's amazing! Like, this is incredible!
Yeah.
Then I think you're missing out on some of the important joys of life. So that's what we're highlighting here.
Did Louis C.K. not make a kind of joke about this? How, like, everyone's complaining about how capitalism's terrible, you know, but all the things that are awesome that they love in their life are because of capitalism. Something like that.
It was something to that effect, yeah, that, I don't know, about our relationship with our phones. Our relationship with our phones, I'll speak for myself. My relationship with my phone has been, like, a little concerning. It's almost like another human being, you know? Like, I feel like I can't be the only person who needs therapy for separation anxiety from my phone. It's like a baby, you know? I'm concerned about what's happening to it when I'm away, if it's just upstairs, you know? Like, I need a monitor or something to keep me in touch. Is my phone crying? Is, you know, does it need a change? Anyway. Yes, media is one of those things we can celebrate, and there's probably lots of examples we can give, but I want to move on to the next one, one that I think is probably the most important. You brought up the police and fire department saving people. What about protection? Protection is getting better. People are arming themselves, so there's more people who can defend themselves in their homes with handguns. And,
maybe there, not here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Not where you live.
Yeah.
But where I live, that's true. And not just arms protection, but the type of protection that people are receiving. For example, there's this app, to use another example of apps and smartphones. There's an app called Peacekeeper. Have you heard of it?
Oh, I have, actually, yeah.
Do you use it?
No, I don't use it now, but I've heard of it.
Okay, well, it's free. It used to be for pay, so if that was the reason that kept you from downloading it in the past, go ahead and download it now, because there's no reason not to. It's free, And what it does is it connects you with your neighbors if there's an emergency. So you have to set up this stuff a little bit ahead of time, so you'll want to talk with your neighbors about it. But it's basically...
Why don't you like some of your neighbors?
Oh, that's fine, too, because you can select who responds. So if you like a few of your neighbors, or just a handful around the town, then you can select just them, and the message will go out to them. Yeah. So the way it works is you open up your phone, you hit this app button, and then it opens up the app, and you're presented with four options. Right now it's four. There might be more in the future, but it's like abduction, fire, break-in, and medical emergency. And so, very simple, in a stressful situation, you don't want to be presented with too many options, and it's just four big buttons. So you just push one of them, and then that sends a blast message out to a preset list of friends who are in your neighborhood. It could even be people who are far away from you, like if your mom lives in the States or in a faraway place, and she can't come to your rescue, it still might behoove her to know that an emergency is happening, so she could be on that list as well. And then it does something one step cooler. It puts all of those people in a chat room together immediately. So for example, I come home, oh my gosh, there's a fire happening in my house. So I break out my phone. Instead of dialing 911, which would take four touches on my phone, I can press this app button and then push one button, the fire button. And that'll send out a message to all my preset friends and neighbors, the people who can come, puts them in a chat room. So if one of my neighbors says, oh, I'm out of town, I can't help, another neighbor can say, I'm grabbing a bucket of water, I'm grabbing a ladder, I'm on my way, or I see Derek in the window, or whatever. You can communicate, and your friends are more likely to actually come and help you and save you and not charge you with crimes like, oh my gosh, I found some pot in the house, and now you're going to jail, which does happen when people call the police for their, safety. Mm-hmm. And it's also got the advantage of... the police, the friends actually show up. Like, I don't know if this happens in the UK, Dan, but we've got this problem where police are incredibly lazy here in the US. And this woman died. It's tragic. I shouldn't laugh. But this woman died last week. She called 911. She was on the phone with 911 as an intruder was in her home. And the cop who was responding to the call decided to take lunch instead. And he wasn't going to respond to this call. Like, yeah, there's an emergency happening. That could be dangerous. I'll just let this one go, and I'll take lunch instead. Your friends probably aren't as likely to do that. Hopefully not as likely.
See, what scares me more about the police here is because, now, I don't have a clear picture, so I'm assuming that, like, fat policemen are a thing in the U.S. because, I've seen it on TV and things like that, and, that's my... And I've only been to Florida, to be honest, and I spent some time in a Texas airport, which was fun. But that's, like, the most experience with the U.S., and I have seen some quite big, policemen there, so...
Yeah,
that's my sort of caricature. See here, the police, as I understand it, because I know someone that was a policeman for a while, they have to undergo fitness tests every so many months. So
what?
They can't, they have to run so many miles and so much time and things like that. They have to undergo regular fitness tests. So that's what scares me more about the police here, because they're agile, man. So if I'm running, they're running right after me, It's scary.
Yeah, that is terrifying. I actually outran...
Try and keep them fit.
Well, I outran some fat cops here in Keene, New Hampshire, my home city. When they were trying to arrest me, but that wasn't clear to me. They just said, Derek, come here. And, that's like what your mother says. It's like, no thanks. Come here. It's like, you're some stranger. I'm not going to just come here when you tell me to. Like, no one could get away with that, bad or not. I'm sorry. I'm not listening to you. So I ran away from them. And I explained as I was running, they were like, why are you running from me? I was like, because
you explained as you were running.
Yeah, I did. I said, because you have a gun and you don't look friendly, and I don't want to talk to you, I think was basically what I said. And I just want to be left alone. And so I ran. But then they charged me with another crime. So first they charged me with trespassing for video recording outside of a courthouse. And then they charged, which is totally unconstitutional, by the way. And then they charged me with resisting arrest for running from them when they tried to arrest me unjustly, right? Like, they tried to make an illegal arrest, and I ran from that, and that was a crime. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But yes, they are fat here in the U.S. Those cops, Officer Quimby, or what's his name on The Simpsons? It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Chief Wiggum.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, Chief Wiggum, not good for protection, but Peacekeeper, that is good for protection. And it's free. You know, of course, people think the police are free, but they're the kind of free that you pay for. And they're the kind of free that you pay for a lot. Like, whenever they make a mistake and they pay out millions, who do you think pays for that?
And even through your tax, man.
Yeah. But not for long. State's collapsing.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Yell, yell, fiends, 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 fiends. Freedom. Fiends. Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Worms. All right. We are safe. The government has not contacted us during this entire program. Thank goodness. We hope it stays that way.
Yes.
So this is redemption in the third act. The way we do this is by wrapping up the whole show and recapping some of the brilliant things that we discussed in these past 2 hours, which are the ways that freedom has increased. And I've got a list. I've been making a list of ways that freedom has increased. We could just go through that, clear up any of the things that we missed. And then I do want to make sure we have time to talk about how you are going to be back on The Fiends later this week with Lou and Dobby, and that's pretty cool.
Not at the one time. It's two different shows.
Two different shows? I thought it was all going to be you guys singing in beautiful harmony.
No, I'm on with Davy on Wednesday and Lou on Thursday.
Ah, dash it. Oh, well. So here is here's the list. We got cars, fire protection, internet, cookies, Fiend phone, Craigslist and eBay, apps and smartphones, money, media, protection. There are many more ways that freedom is increasing. We didn't get to education, for example. Like, we could talk about
that. Absolutely.
Like, Khan Academy, you know, self education, homeschooling, unschooling. This is really taking off right now. And the school choice movement. There's a movement for school choice. After like 100 or 200 years of government education. Education. What am I saying? Indoctrination. Anti-concentration camps. Yes. So now education is changing.
I know. And thankfully, home education is still legal in Scotland. But, you know, I worry because, you know, as far as I understand it, it's illegal in Sweden to home educate, which is just shocking.
Yeah, illegal.
It's illegal. It's against the law.
You can't be trusted to teach your children the things they need to know for life. You must trust the government for that. Yeah.
I'm worried in Scotland because there is such a move to the left politically here, and there has been since the independence referendum, and I'm worried about that because, you know, it seems like something they would do, you know, because now they have a thing they're bringing in as a state representative for every child, and it's scary.
Well, buckle your state-sponsored seatbelt, Dan, because it seems like the whole world is heading in that direction. Far left, but you know, those of us who can see clearly can prepare adequately for the collapse that will inevitably come from leftist policies, and we can laugh in the meanwhile, though, while having compassion for those who suffer in the meantime, because there surely will be some unfortunate suffering from those who can't read the writing on the wall. But maybe we can better prepare ourselves so that we can help them when the time comes.
Yeah, and home education can bring people together in a way as well, because if you think about, from what I know about a lot of American home education, you know, you get some kind of hippie types on one side and you get some kind of real Christian strict types that but both want to homeschool. So it brings people who are so diverse from like one spectrum to the other together on that issue, because if they said we're going to ban homeschooling, those people who would probably agree on nothing could come together over that and fight for that issue for their freedom to do that, but completely differently.
Good point. Yeah, it's kind of the same with food. There are like foodies who are kind of both sides, the religious side and the I don't know what you call it, new agey granola loving like healthy people who are like, they're coming together on these issues.
Reading.
Yeah, exactly. They're coming together on these issues where they would otherwise not see eye to eye, but it's like, this is one of those issues where rubber meets the road. It's food. It's what you use to power your body. It's all
we
essential.
We all need that.
Well, yeah. Hey, we could go on forever in the list of things that... ways that freedom is increasing in your life. So don't despair when you see freedom dying around you. Take heart in knowing that freedom is increasing. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Beautiful.
I hope
it's been positive.
Yeah. I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight.
I think we have.
I'm going to go get some generic knockoff brand cereal. That's another thing I celebrate. Options. Choice.
Yeah, we can't get Lucky Charms here.